Ecclesiastes, he's chapter number 10, verses number 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. If you're there, say amen. Verse 1 says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Verse 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. I want to talk to you just for a little while on the thought. Flies in the ointment. Flies in the ointment. Would you stretch your hand this way? Pray for this preacher. Dear saints, help me pray. Hallelujah, that God would anoint my soul. Father, tonight I know, Jesus, I am the least of all here. God, I feel unworthy. God, I feel unworthy to stand in this pulpit, Lord, if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. But God, because of that blood, Lord, You've covered my transgressions. Lord, You've covered my sin. And Father, tonight I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost come once again. Lord, that a precious anointing, fresh and familiar, God would come to this life. Lord, like never before, that anointing that makes preaching effective, God. I pray that, God, You would touch us. Lord, with a live coal from off the altar, place upon these lips of clay. Purge every imperfection, O God, we ask. And Lord, we thank You, Jesus, that God, You're going to move not to the mind. You're not just going to speak to the emotion or the mind, but God, through that anointing, You'll go to the very heart, to the very spirit of every man, woman, boy, and girl. I pray that, Lord, You'd drive out every foul and unclean thing that would try to hinder this service. Every demon that would try to be put up to stealing that word. Lord, don't let distractions come to the mind of Your people. Don't let them be distracted, God. But Lord, tonight I pray that a holy unction come and a holy anointing come that would just arrest the hearts of Your people, that God, they would live, Father, Lord, in this service tonight as if they were sitting around the throne. I pray, Lord, not that man be exalted, but Jesus, we lift You up this night. Oh God, I pray, help us, Jesus, and Lord, we will give You glory. We'll give You honor in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You may be seated tonight. Flies in the ointment. Flies in the ointment. Amen. A table that is prepared for a king must look wonderful. We flew in just yesterday afternoon, and Brother Chambers, his precious wife, she had dinner fixed for us that was fit for a king. Oh my, I want to tell you, I've lived in South Texas for going on 2 years, and I want to let you know, they got some good food down there, but I just can't get used to tortillas, amen, enchiladas, and chalupas, amen. Some of you saying, I wish I had some of it. Well, if you had to eat it every day, you might change your mind. Amen, but I did get to liking the taquitos pretty good. Amen. Now, some of it's all right, but you know, when we got in here yesterday, she had deer meat. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, venison for you city people. Amen. Had it out on the table. And she had fresh corn and rice and gravy and salad. I thought, my, this is near about heaven. Amen. This is wonderful. I've been there, though, before my wife. We'd have those vegetables, fresh vegetables. I can make a meal off butter beans and peas, cornbread. Amen. Say amen if you love the Lord. Say amen if you love cornbread. Hallelujah. I've had those meals in the summertime, and we get around there, get to started looking at that table. It's fit for a king. Amen. But you know, inevitably, if you're going to silk corn, you know there's going to be flies around. Y'all hadn't done much of that, have you? Hallelujah. Amen. Whenever that there's a table that's fit, you wives know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got that house scrubbed down. Amen. The preacher's coming over Sunday. Amen. Somebody's coming to your house. You've got the house washed down. You've got the baseboard scrubbed. You've got the pantry looking good in case you've got a nosy wife. Amen. Everything's looking right. You got that meal prepared. It's laid out on the table. Everything imaginable's there. And inevitably, when you work so hard, when everything looks like it's going to be perfect, then when meal times come, there it comes a swarming in. You wives, you know what I'm talking about. That fly comes zooming in there, and you go to swatting at him. He says, "You didn't get me. Amen. You didn't make it this time." He goes to swarming around that table, and the wife says, "I'm embarrassed, but I'm going after my fly swat." Amen. We had about 15 people staying with us in the house a couple of weeks ago, and there was one mangy fly that we just couldn't get rid of. I went to the grocery store. I said, "I'll get rid of him if it kills me." I bought me 2 fly swats. Amen. Not one. I got 2. One in each hand. I was in there. We was in the middle of kids' crusade. I didn't know they was watching me. And that night, the puppets, they were swatting flies. Amen. I want to tell you, sometimes those things are pesky. They'll bother you. Flies getting around the table. Amen. I want to let you know, we begin to think about the work of the apothecary. In this scripture, he's a perfume maker. He makes ointments and the things that goes on people's body to make them smell better. Amen. He makes a perfume. All of his labor and his skill and his knowledge is set to naught when one small fly lands in that ointment. There are some steps that apothecary must go through in order that ointment or that perfume be the best that he's ever made. There's even been times when the king would give out an order to that apothecary. He would say to him, "You make an ointment or you make a perfume that's going to be fit for royalty." That king says, "I want some perfume for the queen. It's not just going to be for somebody out on the street. You ain't going to make a bunch of this, buddy. You're going to make this for royalty. This is going to be for the queen. And it better be smelling better than anything you've ever made before." Mr. Apothecary, you go and you find the greatest of the great smells, the flowers, all of that, and you bring it back and make me some perfume. Amen. Most of us now, we begin to look around. You've seen some of those flies around your table. I don't know. Maybe some of you've heard about or seen some of the poverty programs. If you've been into the East many times, even in Israel, if you've been out in that part of the country, of the world, you've seen there that in that, but we got flies here, but honey, they've got flies over there. Amen. We got hundreds, they got thousands of them. Amen. They're everywhere. Everywhere you stop, see a camel, there's a million flies, it seems like, all around him. So this apothecary in the eastern world where he lives, he's making that ointment. And you know, anything that's sweet is going to draw flies. He makes that stuff. And there it is with the flies. Well, there is a thing that must take place for that ointment to be made, for that perfume to be made. That apothecary has the charge from the king. And he says, "I've got to make all things prepared." He gets burlap sacks or some kind of something to tie up those fragrances. Ties them around that garment. They're hanging around his waist all around him. And he starts out on the journey that he's going to get that ointment. He's going to make sure every fragrance is the best that he's ever had. Why? Because this ointment is going to be for a king. This ointment, this perfume is going to be for royalty. Can somebody say amen? He begins to go out on that journey, and the first place that he goes, it'll be the hardest place to get to, so he's going to do it now. Amen. It's the hardest place to reach, so while I've got all of my energy, I'm going to go there first. He heads up to the top of that mountain where there's only a certain fragrance there that he can find. He starts up that journey, and he begins to trudge up a little ways, and it gets tiring. Amen. His knees are hurting. His body begins to ache. because of that pain that comes at trying to get to the top of that mountain. Oh, church, he begins to journey on up knowing that the fragrance that I desire is at the top of the mountain. Amen. There's some of you that's been around. You've been on that journey to the top of the mountain. Oh, there's a fragrance that God can put in your life on the top of the mountain, but it ain't going to be easy to get there. He begins a journey up. Amen. He gets up to a place where the rock is jutted out. The cleft is there. He just begins to sit there for a little while. His knees are aching. He's in pain. But he says, I can't stop here. I haven't got to the top of the mountain yet. There's been many that went on that journey trying to reach the top of old Mount Victory. Trying to get on the top of the hill to find that sweet anointing and that fragrance that comes to any person's life that has the victory. But midway up, you get to a rough spot. You get to a hard place. And you sit down and you never go any further. That rock was not there to hold you. It was there to get you on up higher. I know some people, they say, I'd love to have a smooth mountain. Just make it smooth. I can just walk up. Amen. You don't want a smooth mountain. Amen. Is it all right to preach slow to start with tonight? Amen. You don't want a smooth mountain. Amen. Why don't I want a smooth mountain? Why don't I want it to be smooth? Why don't I want it to be easy? Because if you get nearly about to the top, as you're walking up that smooth mountain, just before you reach the top, you lose your footing. If there's no sharp rocks jutting out, if there's no hard places that you marked on it, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped me, you'll start sliding and you'll roll completely to the bottom and have to start all over again. Oh, thank God for the valley. Thank God for the trial. Thank God for the hard places. He's brought me to the place one step at a time. One step at a time. He gets up finally, makes it to the top of that mountain. Isn't it sweet to be on the top of the mountain? Isn't it glorious to be on top of the mountain? Isn't it wonderful? You can just get on top of the mountain. Nobody seems to bother you. Amen. The cool breeze is blowing. The river's running from the top of that mountain. You begin to drink that cool water. You sit down on top of that mountain and let the breeze blow. Everything's wonderful. Everything's marvelous. Oh, hallelujah. You just want to stay there. Just sit around on the mountain. But he begins to gather up that fragrance. He begins to put it in that sack. There's a fragrance that you can only get on top of the mountain, honey. And I want to let you know, we in the Pentecostal church, it's time. Let's make our journey back to the top of Mount Victory and let God do a work. Hallelujah. He's there picking up that fragrance, putting it in that sack. Amen. Every place that you go is for a reason. Amen. He's got something there, a beautiful fragrance that he wants to put in your life on top of Mount Victory. Amen. There he was, gathered up all that fragrance. But you know the tragedy of living on the mountain is sometimes you got to come off the mountain. Sometimes you got to come off the mountain. He said, I love it here. The breeze is cool. The water is sweet. But I'm never going to get this ointment made if I don't get off this mountain. Amen. I'm never going to get it completed. Amen. I've just got one fragrance here. But this ointment is going to be for royalty. Amen. It's not ordinary. It's not just going to be set on a shelf by 1,000 bottles at a time. It's fit for a king. When God does something in your life, he's doing it to produce a fragrance for royalty. Amen. Oh, he ties up that burlap sack round his waist. And down that mountain he looks. Amen. And he says, I'm going down. Amen. I hate it, but I've got to go. Amen. As he steps down, he begins to turn and look at the crest of that mountain and realize, I didn't go to this mountain for nothing. I'm coming down with a sack full of the fragrance that's going to be anointing, that's going to be placed in the hands of a king. Oh, yes. He begins to march down that mountain And you know without a doubt, every mountain that you've ever seen before. Y'all got some mountains around here. Amen. Bryson City, I know there's a few. Amen. Around on the way back to Kansas, there's some. Amen. Around Ozark or whatever, there's some hills. I don't know what y'all call them, hills, mountains, whatever it is. I know that between every mountain, there is something there that nobody likes to go into. As sure as there's two mountains, there's going to be a valley between. As sure as there's two mountains, there's going to be a valley between. Amen. That man of God had that fragrance from the mountaintop, but now then he had to be led somewhere else. We could sing that song, He Leads Me Beside the Still Waters, somewhere in the valley below. At church, everybody loves to be on the mountain, but there's some of us tonight that's going through a valley. Oh, church, I want to let you know, whether you be on the mountain or you be on the valley, God is in the midst of your life and He wants to produce something in you. Walks down around that valley and he gets there and he looks around. Ain't no breeze blowing in the valley. Amen. Right below us in Corpus, right below Corpus Christi, it's called the Rio Grande Valley. That Rio Grande River is the border between us and Mexico. We're about 2 hours from the border. And in that valley, down in certain low places there, up in Corpus, we're kind of up a little, but in certain places, down in that valley, there's not even a breeze that'll blow down there. It's 106 degrees, and no air to breathe. I want to tell you, the valley, it gets pretty burdensome sometimes. Anybody ever been in the valley before? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. That man, he went down in the valley. He began to look around. He remembered being on top of the mountain. He remembered looking up to the peak and said, I hate to leave you, but know this one thing. God sent him off that mountain because there was another fragrance that God wanted to give to him in the valley. Hear me, preachers. Every one of us want our church to be on the Mount Victory all the time. Amen. But you'll never enjoy being on the mountaintop until you've dug your way out of the valley. Amen. He's in that valley, and there he was looking around and said, what am I doing here? What in the name of the Lord am I here for? Oh, but he began to look around. He said, you know, I'm in this valley, and in that valley, fertile soil, running off of that mountain. You know, you preached it. You've heard it taught in Sunday school. Fertile ground in that valley. And there he was beginning to look around, and he began to see that there was the fragrance that he was looking for. Oh, my! It's tough down here. It's hot down here, but know one thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, sir. In that valley, he sees the fragrance. My. That's why I'm here. There's some of you, get your, amen, down, get yourself down in the valley, and you just pick you up a post office box. Amen. Put your mailbox in the valley. Just say, send my mail to the valley. I want to tell you, church, he said, yea, though I walk through it. He didn't say, put you a post office box. He didn't say, sit there with the mully grubs. He said, get that fragrance that I'm trying to give to you and get out of there. Get that fragrance that I'm trying to put in your life. Amen. You may be going through the worst trial of your life tonight. You may be facing a storm like you've never thought possible. But know this one thing. While the storm clouds rise, while the enemy approaches, reach over. Get you a handful of lilies. He's a lily in the valley. He's a bright and morning star. Oh, God is going to help somebody. He's going to help somebody. He's going to help somebody. Oh, God. In that valley, He restored my soul. That man got the fragrance that he needed in that valley. He put it in that burlap sack. Crammed it down in there. Filled it up. Now listen to me. When he went up that mountain, he was empty. But when he came down, he was already getting loaded. Amen? He had a little weight to him. Come on, somebody. had a little backbone in it. Amen. I've been on the top of the mountain. I know what it's like to have the victory. But honey, when he came out of that valley, he was loaded for bear. Amen. In the fertile soil of the valley, lilies grow plentiful. Amen. In the fertile soil of the valley, there's more than enough. Amen. I want to tell you, I've got some sweet anointing when I shouted the victory. But my spirit got sweet whenever I was in the valley. Say, amen. Whenever I went through the trial, when I had to get in my prayer closet, lay on my face and say, God, where do I go from here? That's when God began to say, I'll pour in the oil of gladness for sorrow. Put on the garland of praise. When you can praise in the valley, God's ready to bring you out. Hallelujah. When you can praise God in the lowest part of your life, then you're ready to make your exodus out of that valley. When your churches fell apart. Amen. When your family's on the rocks. When your wife walked out and your husband's down the road. And you can lift up your voice with tears running down your face and say, though he slay thee, yet will I trust him. That's when you can know one thing. God has produced that fragrance in your life that he's wanted to put in you. Most of the time we want to quit before he gets through with us. We want to march on through the valley, get a taxi out, get back to the top of that hill. But God said, just sit there a little bit. I know it's hot, but I want to tell you, I'm going to make something out of you in that valley. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana. My pastor and I went over to Osner's clinic. We were going to the hospital there to pray for somebody. And on the way out of New Orleans, he said, I know a little place I want to take you to. You go with me, Glenn Lowry. Went over there. We sat down at a place that had beautiful glass work everywhere. All kinds of colors. All kinds of glass. All shapes. All sizes. He went into that place. He said, I'm going to get us in the back. We're going to watch him do this glass. Amen. I went in the back with him. He got us in there. We went and sat down and said, you've got to sit back at least 20 foot away from that furnace because it's so hot it'll burn your skin if you get close to it. We sat down over there against the wall. That glass worker, that glass blower began to do that glass. He had old broken up pieces of glass. Had green glass. Had white glass. Had some blue glass. I'd never seen it before. He had it all in just broken up shards of glass. In old pasteboard boxes sitting over there on the side. He rammed in that steel rod. He began to turn it in that fire until it got glowing white. When he got it glowing white, he reached it out of there, pulled it out, and stuck it in that pasteboard box and began to twist it around. And then he pulled up a huge clump of that broken glass and he stuck it in the fire. Oh, he began to turn it round and round and round. And finally it got smooth. He began to work on that glass. When he got finished with it, church, it was something beautiful. I want to let you know that when God started with me, he broke it. He started with nothing more and broke it up pieces of trash. But I want to let you know, you that are saved, you that are Holy Ghost filled, look what the Lord has done. Man, he sat there with that glass. Amen. Worked with it until it was completely ready. That's what God's doing with you in the valley. That apothecary stayed there now then to add insult to injury. He went in that valley tired, hot, weary, and just ready to sometimes quit maybe. And now to add insult to injury, he had those victory. Amen. The sack full of fragrance that he got from the mountain. Ain't nothing any worse than being in the valley and being reminded of when you had the victory. Say amen. Ain't nothing any worse than being in the mully grubs and your mama come by and say, son, I remember two or three weeks ago, you shouting in that altar. What happened to you? And you hang your head down. Say, I don't know why I'm here, but that ought to be something to say, you know what? I got this sack full of fragrance. That reminded me that I once was there, and I'm not going to stay here. I'm on my way back. Hallelujah. Round and round we go, but we're making an ointment that's fit for a king. He left that valley after the Lord had finished with him. Amen. He began to march out. If that wasn't bad enough, only to leave the mountaintop and go to the valley. Now then, there was another fragrance that he had to acquire. He had to go on out even further into the desert. You get going west too far over the Mississippi, you start seeing dirt instead of grass. Amen. It's dry as powder out there. In our backyard where we live, the grass, it grows there, but it'll get so dry in the summertime, there'll be cracks in our yard that are this wide. Amen. You go out there with the water hose. I didn't know about them. I was going to fill that crack up with water. You know how we'll do? Just get it soaked down, and it goes away. Not this one, honey. I know, at least 2 hours worth of water. It didn't do nothing but gurgle a little bit. Amen. Dry. There's to go even worse into it. There's men and women that must go through the desert. They must go through that dry place. It's bad enough to be in that valley. Now then, you're getting the things that you need out of that valley. But to leave that valley, you go straight into the desert. Sometimes it's a killer. Amen. I know people that they begin to go through the valley instead of running to Calvary, instead of running to the cross. They just go further out in the backside of the desert like Mephibosheth, hiding your head, saying, I hope that they never find me. That isn't what God wants to produce in you. He wants to let you know there is a fragrance even in the dry place where you are. There's a fragrance in the dry place where you are that God wants to produce something in you. I've learned it over and over again in the last 2 years. Amen. Especially since we've been pastoring that church. Amen. It ain't all the time what I can do for them. It's what God's wanting to do in me. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm not complaining one bit, but I want to let you know there's some dry places where I walk. Amen. To be in a congregation like this. To hear 150, 300 people raising their hands and worshiping God. It's like drinking a cool drink of water. It's like breathing in fresh air. I want to tell you, church, there are some dry places, but no one thing. God has a reason for it. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. In the desert, He is the sweet desert rose. He's a desert rose that blooms in due season. Oh, you think nothing grows in the desert? You just look around. Amen. There's going to be some life everywhere. Amen. You just got to find it. Amen. When you're in the desert, that means you got to dig down a little bit deeper. Amen. In the place where we lived in Mississippi, there on the coast, I drove a well by myself. Amen. Didn't have to have no help. Just drove a well 18 and a half feet. Had a gusher of water. It came out some of the best water you ever had. I asked them down in Corpus about driving a well. They said between 160 and 200 feet you'll have to drive that well. I want to let you know there's some dry places that you don't have to quit. Amen. You're going to have to do more than quit. You have to work a little bit, dig a little bit, and keep on digging until there's a gusher that begins to come up from within you. He puts you in a dry place to let you know He's the rock that'll follow you and give you water in the dry place. It's easy to drink from the fountain when it's flowing over the top of the rocks. But God will make something in you when you got to dig your own well. Amen. When you got to dig down and pray. Pray more than 5 minutes a day. Amen. I could just preach on and on. I've got to hurry. He brings that back. He gets all of that ointment. What is so wonderful about that ointment? Amen. In the book of Hosea, a Song of Solomon, if you'll turn with me there in the book of chapter 5, he begins to talk, amen, showing us about that shepherd, amen, and that shepherdess, that woman, and they loved one another. In chapter 5, we begin to talk about that ointment. What is so wonderful about that ointment that God wants to produce in us? It's a marvelous thing that will draw men and women close to the presence of God. Amen. Chapter 5 says, verse 1, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse, And then she goes down in verse number 2 and says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, she says. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Her lovers come to her and says, I want to have this time with you of communion. We want to share, amen, this time together. It was the one whom her soul loved. But she said, you know, it's not a good time right now. Amen. It's not real good. I've already washed my feet. I've already put off my coat. I can't get up again. There's many times that the lover of our soul has come knocking to your house and said, I'd love to be with you. I'd love to share this time with you. But no, we don't have time for him that loves us. I've got my shoes off. How can I put them on? How can I defile my feet? And then it says that the shepherd says that he put his hand in the hole of the door. Amen. He showed her his hand, and on that hand, it was filled with ointment and myrrh that was on his hand. He put his hand in the hole of the door, saying, hey, I'm here calling to her, beckoning her. Amen. Not just his voice, but his hand he used to call her. And the Lord will speak to you by his spirit. He'll talk to you by his voice if you'll listen to him. But in his reasoning, he'll do anything he can to get to you. He'll even show you the power of his hand. He'll heal your body. He'll put your marriage back together again. He'll call to you and help you, even if you'll let him. Not only will he speak by his spirit, he'll manifest his power, show his hand. And then, whenever he withdrew his hand from the door, she sat in that bed. I smell something. I've never smelled nothing like that before. I've never had anything like that before. And that fragrance of that one that she loved began to draw her to the door. She forgot about having her shoes off. She forgot about it and taking off her coat. All she wanted to do was get near that one that she loved. Oh, church, if we can just begin to let the fragrance of God begin to come in our life again. Amen. Let that beauty, amen, that oil of gladness come in our heart and our life. He'll draw us again. If you can ever just smell, amen, in the spirit. I'm not talking somebody like he's flakes. Says, oh, I can just smell God. Amen. Gold dust floating around everywhere. Went down and was with a man. He said, we had people had their teeth filled with gold. I said, that ain't of God. He looked at me funny. I said, God would give them new teeth. Oh, you didn't like that a bit. Say amen. I'm talking about the real, genuine. Amen. His hand was at the door. She got up. She began to run over to the door. And she began to open that door to begin to talk to that shepherd lover. But he had withdrawn himself. Church, I want to let you know that we are in the best time that we've ever lived in. God is offering himself. He's pouring himself out to those that love him. Oh, let's don't waste the ointment. Let's don't run away from what God trying to do in the midst of us. She went to that door and she realized she had missed out on the greatest thing that had ever happened in her life. I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that all of anointing is the greatest thing outside your salvation. Amen. If you're saved, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know they were preaching what they preached, but I want to tell you, there's a fragrance that God wants to put in you, and it is the all of anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's something about it. She begins to describe it over in verse number 9. Amen. She is talking to those court ladies, Brother Chambers. She said, I've lost him. I don't know where he is. I've got to find my shepherd lover. I got to tell you. Amen. They looked at her and said in verse 9, and said, why? What is thy beloved more to thee than another beloved? Thou fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why is this lover any better than anything else? Just go find yourself somebody else. Just get something else. I want to let you know, church, once you've had the fire, the smoke won't do. Once you've had the real, there's going to be nothing else that will make your life whole and happy and light come into your heart. There's nothing that will give you life again. What is thy lover more than anybody else? And she begins to tell him, my beloved in verse 10 is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as one most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves, and the rivers of waters washed with milk. And fitly said, his cheeks are as a bed of spices and his sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold. His belly is a bright ivory, overlaid with sapphire. His legs as a pillar of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. There's no one like the sweet shepherd of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody like my Lord. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody to do that in my life that Jesus can do. What is he that's different than Buddha? What is he that's different than Mohammed? What is he that's different than Sun Moon? What's he that's different than any other? Amen. He's the only one that could say to the dead, rise up. He's the only one that could say to the dumb, speak. He's the only one that could say to the blind, see. He's the only one that could fold up that four-cornered garment, lay in the corner of that altar, in the corner of that tomb, and declare, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I want to tell you, he's altogether lovely. Yes, he is. Nobody like my Jesus. Nobody like my Jesus. Nobody like my Lord. Just praise him a minute. Just praise him a minute. Shut down to the other wall. Mandolaboku shakatarabah. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah. Nobody like Jesus, Brother Smith. Oh, he's altogether lovely. I could preach that for the rest of the night. Amen. Let me give you the rest of this message, if God will help us. Amen. That man, he got all those fragrances together. And he takes them back to that tent. And he says, I'm going to make this ointment that's fit for a king. Amen. I want to let you know, church, that God's doing in your life, you're not making it. He's not making it for somebody ordinary. Amen. That fragrance, hallelujah, is just going to be fit for a king. Revelation 5:8-9 says, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, each one of them having vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Church, I want to tell you, I believe the word of God speaks, talks about when there's a fire. It says his fan is in his hand. But it also tells me that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and ever liveth to make intercession for me. You know what I think he's doing? Whenever everybody gets in trouble, whenever somebody calls out to God, I think Jesus, the same one that fans the fire, fans the prayers to God. It says, remember, they prayed. There's an anointing there that will make a difference. Can I just tell you this? A missionary, his whole job was to get money in the city of Africa, the big cities, and take that money, a midway point, into the jungle, buy medicine and foods, and then go on in to the jungles of Africa, amen, and give that medicine and food to the people in the jungles. That's his job. That's all he did. He didn't start a school, do any other things. He just, that was what he did. Amen. On one particular journey, talking about an anointing, Amen. I'm talking about a prayer that God will begin to, amen. You live that life of prayer, God will be reminded of that prayer life. Amen. He'll be reminded of that ointment that's been in your life. Amen. He went up at midway point. He came back, and then he got the money. He going in second time in, or however many times he went in. He got to that midpoint, and there were some men that knew what he was going to do. They knew he had money. They knew that he was going to buy, amen, that food, that medicine, and take it on in. He went into that place. He had the money. He began to get to the place where he's going to sleep the night. There was five or six men that began to look that way, and they had planned on killing him and taking his money. He didn't know it. They were looking at him. They started walking toward him. But about that time, they began to fight amongst themselves. They began to argue between one and the other, pushing one another. And finally, they left. Amen. He said that he went on, took the food, took the medicine into the place, came back. And on the way back, one of those men that was going to attack him came up to him and said, "What are you?" I'd love it to get to the place where people start saying, instead of who we are, what are we? What are you? That whenever you're at the worst part in your life, you can lift up your hand and shout hallelujah. What are you that when your baby dies, you can go to that place and put her in the grave and say, "God, I love you"? What are you that when you don't have two dimes to rub together, you can say, "I'm a poor rich man"? What are you? That man asked that missionary, "What are you?" He said, "I'm a missionary." He said, "I don't mean that." He said, "What are you?" He said, "There's something weird about you." He said, "What do you mean?" He was in Michigan telling this story to a congregation. He said that whenever that man began to talk, he said, "We were going to attack you, take your money, and kill you and leave you here in this jungle. But when we started toward you, there were 26 men with white raiment and swords that stood around you, and we weren't able to get to you." While he stood in the pulpit in his home church in Michigan, there was a man overwhelmed by the Spirit. He stood to his feet and he said, "Brother, what day was that that happened?" And he said, "Such and such day. In Africa it was night. In the day it was here." He said, "On that same time, at that same hour, I was on my way to the golf course. I had men going with me to play golf." He said, "I felt led of God to pray for you." He said, "I was so impressed. I called every man I could. And we came to the church and we prayed for you." He said, "I'd love for you men that were here with me in the prayer meeting to stand up." That missionary, he wasn't trying to figure out names. He was counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 15, 26 men that stood. I want to let you know there is power in prayer when you live with anointing in your life. He brought all of it back. Put it in a pot. Poured in the water. And begin to put the fire underneath. You boys can preach this when you get home. Put it in that pot, that fragrance. That is everything God's put in them. Put it in that pot. Amen. To mix it again. Pour the water in and put the fire under it. We know, Brother Smith, that fire represents the Holy Ghost. That fire that began to burn. Amen. Begins to burn out the dross. All the impurities floated to the top. Amen. That water represents the Word of God. Church, I want to let you know, this book says, if ye abide in me and my Word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. What he was wanting to happen is that water would take on the fragrance of those flowers. What God is trying to produce in you and produce in me is that we become one in the Word of God. As He is, so shall we be. That blessed book He's producing in us. He said, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed into the image of God by the renewing of your mind." Amen. What is the express written word of God? What is, if we could put a picture to God, it would be what's written in these pages. Everything you've went through on the mountaintop, everything you've went through in the valley, every dry place you've went through is to transform you into the image of Christ, not into anything that's broken to pieces. We've got a wounded spirit mentality in the Pentecostal world today. Amen? I'm just wounded. I've just been hurt. I witnessed to somebody and they didn't receive me. Tried to tell my family about Jesus. They didn't. Am I preaching too long? I didn't get to preach long last night. I'm trying to catch up. Amen? Hallelujah. They just won't receive me. They won't receive. I'm just broken. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to just lay down and die. You are nothing but a wimp. You ain't wounded. You just give up. Paul says, I was thrice beaten with rods and left for dead. Stone left for dead. Persecuted. Amen. Tribulations came my way. But I counted all joy at the love of God and the power of God might rest on my life. Church, He's doing something in you. Put it in that pot. Make it back that ointment. Hear me. In that time I told you about the flies. In the eastern world, flies by the thousands. Amen. I was in Jericho, Brother Shortridge. 3 or 4 or 5 camels down there to ride. You get on that camel, ride that camel in Jericho. Right there by the place where you eat. I wasn't foolish enough to get on no camel. My 72-year-old grandmother got on a camel. But I didn't. Amen. I was up there trying to hold on to that camel. Oh, grass. She said, get away, get away. You're embarrassing me. I said, around there, flies everywhere. Amen. The tragedy is that apothecary, his job wasn't through. Amen. But just going to the mountain, going to the valley, going to the dead. That was hard work. Amen. He wasn't through. He had to put the fire under it, put it in that pot of water. But the last thing that apothecary was supposed to do, he was supposed to cover that pot with a white linen cloth. Why a white linen cloth? Why was he supposed to cover that pot? What supernatural thing was that white linen cloth going to do? Nothing. Except keep out the flies. All it did, brother fellas, was keep the flies out. Oh, yeah. All it did was keep the flies out. He forgot to put the white linen cloth. Amen. That fire represents the Holy Ghost. Amen. That water's a word. That white linen cloth represents that anointing that covers every man, woman, boy, and girl that's Holy Ghost filled. That anointing just simply lays over the top. I want to tell you, the devil can't get nothing in you that ain't filtered by the Holy Ghost. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God has got a filter on your life. The Word of God says, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. Hallelujah to God. Why can you say, I'm not going to sit there and watch that mess on television? Why can you sit there and say, I'm not going to sit in the mall and look at ungodly people? Come on, somebody. You won't watch a TV, but you'll sit in the mall, you ungodly devil, and watch every woman that walks by. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, whether it comes across a picture tube or in the flesh, lust is a fly that will kill you. Say amen. Oh, my. He didn't cover that ointment. He didn't put that cloth over the... It's an anointing. Amen. You live, Brother Fellows Jr., on that anointing. Hallelujah. The oil. Amen, Brother Smith. The fire goeth not out because there's an oil of anointing. Amen. Those priests were to order it from evening until morning. Not from morning till evening. Amen. They did it from evening. The last thing they did before they went to bed, they had... They may have already been in the bed. They may have already laid it down. When the priest said, Joe, you put the oil in the lamp. No, Bill, did you? No, Steve, did you? Well, boys, get up, because we can't go to sleep until we're covered with an anointing. The fire will not go out the night. You can't live your life without a covering of an anointing. Amen. Put the anointing, put the oil in the lamp, boys. Keep it burning till the break of day. Hallelujah. There he was. You know, it's a wonderful thing. That white linen cloth, it didn't stop the fresh water from the rain to come in. It just came right on through. Made more of a fragrance. Made more to be blessed by. Amen. That Holy Ghost rain just makes it sweeter. But it kept out the flies. Amen. Have I got time to name a few flies? Will y'all stay with me just a few minutes? It's only 8:15 in Texas. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You see, I get up early. Amen. We get up 6:00 around here. It's 5:00 at home. Amen. So we're used to that. Brother Eddie's up praying this morning. I was trying to pray. Hallelujah to God. But church, I want to let you know that there is something that God will produce in your life, and it is an anointing that will cover that life. What do you mean? The Word of God. I told you in the beginning of the message. Amen. Dead flies cause the ointment to stink. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Amen. There's some flies that will cause that precious anointing, that precious fragrance that God has produced in your life to become a stinking savor. I believe my brother said it this morning best. Nothing stinks worse than a dead Pentecostal church. Amen. Because if a Pentecostal church dies, that means there's a heap of flesh to rot. My God, I could preach till Jesus. That 3 hours is looking good, Brother Hatfield. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm going to try to hurry. Amen. People have Christians on a pedestal, Brother LeGrand. Amen. They're looking at you not to lift you up, but they're putting you there to observe you, brother. They want to see how you act when the problems come. We Pentecostals have always got the answer for what we need, except when we're in the one of need. Amen. Hallelujah. I got people in my church, ain't even got children. They wouldn't know, tell me how to raise mine. Say amen. Hallelujah to God. That ointment, it'll keep that out. Amen. Let me give you a couple of flies. What do you mean, folly? What kind of folly? Amen. Number one, that slander fly. Come on, somebody. We've been shouting good all night. Don't you quit on me this late in the game. Amen. Slander fly. He's kin to that sand fly. Wherever the dirt is, he's going to be around. Amen. Slander. Proverbs 10:18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. Amen. Whenever somebody's doing wrong, it ain't for you to talk about it. Are y'all going to help me, or do I need to quit? I said, whenever somebody else has missed the mark, it ain't for you, Mr. Know-Everything. It ain't for you, Sister Better than everybody else, to tell them how to live. It's up to you to get on your face and get before God and say, I've been in that valley. I've been in that hard place. And I'm going to help you pray through until the sweet scent of glory comes to your life. Amen. Mocking at sin. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Oh my, I've never come to the place where I've seen it go this far, that people make fun of sin. The funniest person on your television is that queer. Hey man, I read a magazine article. Hey man. And down in where we are, the news comes on 87.7 on the radio. Listen to the news every morning coming back from prayer meeting. They were talking about on the news a new program. They come out a year or two or three ago. I don't even know. Never seen it. Couldn't tell you what the people looked like. But it talked about will and grace. Don't tell me if you've seen it. I don't want to know. Amen. Will and grace. I listened to that news broadcast in my car going down the road. I said, God, what is going on here? They played a short excerpt of one of the things that was happening on that program. He talked about being, amen, homosexual. He talked about being this, and he was a little sissy thing, had a lisp everywhere you turn, and he was the funniest one. Listen, for 2 minutes, he had all the best punchlines. I want to let you know that God still hates sin, and if you're there, God will deliver you. Fools make a mock of sin. They piss around trying to be a woman. Amen. Women trying to be men. Got them down there with a butch haircut, shorter than mine. I mean, I'm not preaching clothesline. You know how to dress. You know how to live. I'm telling you, it's got something to do on the inside before it ever gets on the outside. Either way, honey, if you live wholeness, it's because there's something happened on the inside of your life. But if you're living like the world, there's something that's got inside that ointment. Why? You left the covering off.